Well, appreciate your prayers again this morning. I definitely appreciated that song too. It's it truly rings true. So many times we look at things and it can be overwhelming to us, but it doesn't overwhelm God. I think often of that story where Jesus and his disciples were in the boat. It was quite a storm. But was this boat really going to sink with Jesus in it? So it is with us. Are we really going to sink with Jesus is on board? No, we're not. Thank the Lord. Well, I have some thoughts to share this morning. And I want to take some time to, throughout this discourse, there will be a couple of points, well, more than a couple, but part of the purpose of this discourse this morning is to magnify the Lord. That means to bring into the true understanding of God's power, his love, and his mercy. But to start off with, I want to tell a story, a true story, one that took place many years ago. And the story, again, is about love and mercy. So this story was about a young boy years ago where tragedy had struck his life at a young age, and it happened rather quickly. These two tragedies happened back to back. First of all, his father was killed in war, and if that wasn't bad enough, he also was in an accident soon after and was handicapped for the rest of his life. And you can only imagine at such a young age, two of those things happening would be enough to bring great discouragement to a young boy like that, and a great disadvantage in a lot of ways. And if that wasn't bad enough, there was also, given the circumstances, his father dying and this accident he was in, he lost his home and had to move off to another town. So had to learn all things new again, another location. And to think of this, can you imagine the difficulties and challenges that this boy went through, having to learn new friends, you know, and watching the other boys out there playing, and he can't play, he's handicapped, he doesn't have a father to go back home to in his house. Pretty devastating. But amazingly, through the next several years, he was able to move on the best he could, and over time was able to, whatever means, I'm not sure how he was able to work, but somehow he's able to have a little family, and had his own little son, obviously his own little home there. And though I can only imagine, you know, missing his father was magnified even more. But to think of going through all of this and then to reflect upon what life used to be like, you know, used to have his father and the luxuries he had there with his father. His father was a wealthy man, and his life truly had been turned upside down. But like I said, he was trying to make the best of it, as best he could. But something happened one day. He received a message. He received word of something that would change his life forever. A very good friend of his father's called for him to come visit him back at his hometown. And obviously he was rather nervous about this, as you could imagine. He hadn't seen his father's friend for years. And after all the natural introductions and reacquaintance, this young man, who was now a father, was offered something that just blew his mind. He was offered a new home, fully furnished, unlimited groceries, full-time chef, groundskeeper, maintenance man. And not only that, the land that was also his father's. All of this was given to him. And he just could not fathom. What? This is how, you know, I don't deserve this. But yet, this man was very kind and generous to him. And all of this just because this man was his father's best friend. So perhaps some of you all know the story I'm talking about. It's a story in the Old Testament. And it's the story of Mephibosheth. And the man that was kind and generous to him was King David himself. And Mephibosheth's father was Jonathan, which was King David's best friend from his youth. And as the story goes, and we're going to read some of this story actually in 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel, the 9th chapter. We'll pick up there. But I want to write the title on the board. So I've written on the board the name of this young man, Mephibosheth, and Love and Mercy is a subtitle underneath it. So to give a little background, what happened is Jonathan and his father Saul, this is Mephibosheth's grandfather Saul, King Saul, they were killed in battle. And Mephibosheth was only 5 years old. And as you can read some of this in the 4th chapter of 2 Samuel, and as his nurse was running away after this tragic news, and she was holding Mephibosheth, and somehow she fell, he fell, something happened anyway, and he was injured, severely injured, and was handicapped then, both of his legs, his feet, for the rest of his life. And you can imagine, his life was turned upside down. Just, he didn't ask for that. That wasn't, it just seems unfair. It's one thing to lose your father tragically like that. Now, again, his father was a man of war, but still, his father and his grandfather. And then basically, he was just soon after that, then handicapped, and his life was just turned upside down. I can't imagine going through what that young man went through. Well, then fast forward several years, he'd had a son and was living the best life he could. But in the 9th chapter of 2 Samuel, I want to read a good part of this chapter. We'll skip some of the first part. David was asking, is there any left of the house of Saul that I may shew kindness for Jonathan's sake? And finally someone said, yes, there's one here. And he says, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. Verse 4. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel in Lodibar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker and the son of Amiel from Lodibar. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely shew thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and shalt eat bread at my table continually. And notice what he says here, verse 8. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? So here we have this young man, he felt worthless. Think about this. To reflect upon what he was before, you know, and then everything taken from him and not able to provide like he would want to adequately for his family. Yet he had a son, and no doubt he was doing his best. I don't know how, somehow he was managing through life, just probably scraping by. And then, you know, David, King David saying, you know, here, I want to give you all this. He's like, I'm not worthy of this. You know, just I'll just kind of live my little life here. And but King David wouldn't have it. There was something about him. And this all goes back to his great love for his father, Jonathan. Folks, let me tell you, the power of love is so strong, okay? So this is just a story between individuals here, but there's more to this. And the king called to Ziba. So he goes on and basically he asks for him. He says, thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. So he's basically some of Saul's household. They had still several servants left, and they were to become his servant, Mephibosheth's servants. And then Ziba said unto the king, according to all the Lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. So this is quite a story. I can only imagine what was going through his mind. It's like there was, his life was turned right side up. Before, it was turned upside down. Now it's turned right side up just as suddenly almost. A couple of points I want to get here. You know, King David giving him his land back, that was justice. That was good, and that was the right thing to do. But he took it a step further than that. You could say it this way. That was really all he was kind of required to do. But King David went above and beyond that. He's like, oh no, you're going to come in here and you're going to eat at my table for the rest of your life. that was, you could say, almost the highest honor possible. Especially in that day and age, food was such a huge factor back in those days. Because you couldn't just, I mean, food can be gained so easily here in America, okay? But you rewind several thousand years ago, that wasn't the case. Food was very valuable, okay? And here it was, he had food unlimited for the rest of his life. And you could say it this way, he went from poverty to royalty. I want to read some words of a song that was written. It was in recent years. There's a song called Dining with the King. And I want you to listen to this. How the author wrote this. It says, he bowed before King David, a crippled beggar from Lodabar, Mephibosheth, an outcast since the age of 5, the only one still living from the fallen house of Saul. He waited for the king to take his life. He felt a hand on his shoulder, and as he lifted up his head, he expected wrath and judgment. But instead, he went from poverty to royalty. From unworthy to majesty, he went from begging for the crumbs out on the street to dining with the king. He gave him back his honor. He gave him back his hope. He gave him back his life and so much more. He could believe a king could ever be so who could believe a king could ever be so kind, or a peasant left with nothing in this world. You know, this was something remarkable. And I'm thankful that this story is in the scriptures. Because if you think about this, there's something about this story. Folks, you know this story is still alive and true today for all mankind. And we'll put this in a spiritual sense. Think of what God has done, what he's offered to mankind through his son, Jesus Christ. He's offered salvation. and that's to bring us from the spiritual rags and the despair to the spiritual prosperity that we can have in the Lord. And think of it this way too. God is calling every person and giving every person on the face of the earth this same opportunity. He's saying, I want you to be a child of the King. And you can be a child of the king. No, we may not have, we may not be exactly like Mephibosheth, and that our grandfather was a literal king, and our father was a prince, Jonathan, and be set up in that case. But yet, he found himself in despair. He found himself rejected. He found himself lonely. He found himself needing love and mercy. He found himself alone, forsaken, broken. hidden shames, sorrows, fears. Think of all those things. And we could plug ourselves into that and the rest of mankind. All the things that sin does that brings shame and bondage upon people's lives. And sometimes, yes, there's things that the people have committed themselves and found themselves in that condition. Other times, children are born into homes that are wicked. It's like they didn't deserve that and that they didn't ask for that. But yet, where's the fairness and the justice? Oh, thank the Lord that through Jesus Christ, His Son, that He offers a way, a plan of salvation that all can come back and sit and eat at the King's table, to be a child of the King. Again, going from eating crumbs on the street to eating at the King's table. And just think of that, folks, that God is still calling today to all of mankind, saying, you don't have to stay in that condition. You don't have to stay just barely scraping by in life and struggling and eating the crumbs and doing all these things. He's like, I have so much more for you. You can come and eat at my table and enjoy my protection, enjoy my presence, enjoy my fellowship, all those things that we can enjoy with the King of Kings. Reminds me of a scripture. I want to turn and read this. Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, verse 3. In Jeremiah 31, verse 3, it says this. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. So, this verse, there's a lot in it, but in some ways, you could say the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord is speaking to him, and he's speaking of the children of Israel of old, okay? And think of their story. They were in bondage. They were in Egypt. And God called them out of Egypt. God loved His people. God had mercy upon His people, saying, you don't have to stay here any longer. I will deliver you. I will bring you out of Egypt. So that was great and wonderful. But now what do? They're a huge multitude. Then He preserved them for 40 years in the wilderness. Again, God's love and His mercy was extended to them. Hundreds of miracles performed just for these people that He loved so much. He kept His hand of protection over them. And God led them through the wilderness for those 40 years and preserved them. But He wasn't done yet. Then He led them over into the land of Canaan, a land that was flowing with milk and honey, a land of bounty and plentifulness. And that was, God was trying to give him his best, if you could say it that way. Oh, dear ones, He still is offering that to all of us today, to enjoy His bounty and to extend to us His love and His mercy. All right? And I want to read this scripture again. It says, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You know what's amazing about this is God didn't use the fear and intimidation tactics. He wasn't driving the children of Israel out. He wasn't forcing them out. You know, it's the same way as King David did with Mephibosheth. He just called for him and said, hey, I want to talk to you. I have something to offer you. He wasn't forcing him to change, so to speak. He's like, here, I have this available. Would you like this? He's like, oh, yes. This is what I've been longing for my whole life. That all my life is now being restored. Oh, thank the Lord that our life can be restored. It's anew and afresh, and it's bubbling over with abundance from the King's table. All right? And just to think of this morning, I want to share, as I mentioned earlier, we're magnifying the Lord, thinking of how God used King David to reach out to someone that was that had been handicapped from a child, someone that had been served a lot of challenges in his life and a lot of disadvantages, and yet God's love and His mercy was extended. He was touched by that, and He moved upon King David to offer this to him. And then again, reading this scripture in Jeremiah, talking about the children of Israel, how God was moved to bless his people and to help them all along through their journey out of Egypt and through the wilderness and over into the land of Canaan. And then we fast forward to all of us today, that God desires to give us of his bounty today. But you know, there's something sometimes through the processes of life, we do find ourselves in a difficult place, okay? So I want to share just briefly some of my personal testimony this morning. I've shared some of this before. I feel impressed to share it again. So I was in my middle teens, and it was around 16, and I'd been saved some years prior to that, and was doing my best to live for the Lord. And as life would have it, there were some challenges, and you could say I was starting to drift from the Lord of my own choosing. But I was still tender towards the Lord. But it was that summer when I was 16, the summer of 92. And we went on a canoe trip. Went on a canoe trip down in Knoll, a bunch of us young people. And during this canoe trip, we decided to do some swimming in between canoeing. We pulled off to the side and decided to go swimming. Well, the swimming, first of all, I'm not an amazing swimmer as it is. And we were foolish in swimming. We weren't prepared for that necessarily. And I jumped in. I mean, I had was fully clothed, even had my shoes on. I don't know what I was thinking, but that sure didn't help. But it was hot, so it was cooling off and just kind of following what the others were doing. But I got out in this river, Elk River there, and got out where I couldn't touch the bottom. And I was kind of swept out there, and I was starting to get frantic and was panicking and just kind of thrashing around. And I could tell this was not good. And started hollering, and anyway, some of the other young men I was with, they just thought I was playing around, because everyone was, and didn't realize how serious it was, and until finally, went under and came back up and did it a second time. And as I'm out there struggling, folks, I don't know how to describe this, but you realize the Lord was talking to my heart? The Lord was getting my attention, and it was like my whole life just flashed before me. I don't know how to explain it. Unless you've experienced it, it's hard to explain. But in an instant, just in a matter of seconds, my whole life flashed before me. And I knew I needed to make some things right. I knew I needed to make it right with the Lord as well. There were some things that were left undone there. And I was literally grasping, thrashing for my life. And finally, I went down that third time, and as I was going down, I saw it was my cousin Brent came sprinting after me, was jumping in to try to help me. He's like, well, finally somebody realized this is serious. But as I went down that third time, I thought that was going to be it. I really did. I was worn out, and I couldn't. It was an undertow is what it was. It was kind of in a bend of a river. And my prayer as I was going down that third time was like, Lord, if you will save me from this situation, I will give my heart back to you. That was my prayer. It wasn't audibly. It was just the Lord knew my heart and my mind. He knew my desperation, and I meant business. I was not playing games. And as I went down that third time and my foot caught on something down there in a positive way, something stable that I could push off of. I think it was just a tree root or something. I was able to push off of that from being way underwater and lunge towards the side, and was able to grab some other roots and barely pull myself up out of the water. And as I sat there drenched, the rest of them just kind of drifted on around. They finally came up. But I had a few moments there as I sat by myself on the shore, and I was just weeping. Maybe not as much physically, because I didn't want to make a big scene in front of everyone, but in my heart and my mind, I'm like, thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving my life here. Lord, and I was making some commitments right there, saying, Lord, I'm going to turn my life around. Lord, I'm going to make some changes here. Lord, thank you, thank you. And there was something about that. And thankfully, from that day forward, I was able to make some things right and have served the Lord ever since. But I want to say this. That was God's love and his mercy extended to me, saying, child, I'm going to give you a chance. He didn't have to do that. I could have drowned that day. But that was my prayer, and God heard my prayer. And he knew I was sincere in that. But yet it was up to me to receive all those blessings that he had waiting for me. But I had to take that step, and I had to receive what he had for me. And I'm so thankful that, again, in some ways I felt like I was eating crumbs from the street. And then I went to eating at the king's table. And over 30 years later, I'm still feasting at the king's table. My life was restored. God gave me many favors, royalty favors. I'll just say it that way. But I don't feel like I've deserved it. And I have a wonderful family and friends. The spiritual food and provisions he's given me over the years. And folks, I'll just say it this way. I feel like I am a very wealthy man. Maybe not so much monetarily, but you think of all the things that God has done for me. And I know everyone has this testimony too, but it's like when you really start analyzing it, you think of, number one, the salvation God has given me. Okay? That's the most important. That's the greatest wealth possible, is to be saved from sin. But then there's also the hope of my eternal mansion prepared over there and an eternal retirement that someday, and to have that hope, something to look forward to. And beyond that, as I mentioned, I have a wonderful wife and children, good health, able to use my five senses. I have, again, a wonderful extended family and friends. And church family, a wonderful congregation to worship the Lord in. I have a good job. I have a home, a car, freedom in our country. So many things God has given me. I don't feel worthy of this. I feel like Mephibosheth. But yet, folks, I'm going to keep eating at the king's table. I don't have any desire to go anywhere else. God has spoiled me. And it's because of his love and his mercy that I'm standing here today. It's nothing that Butch did. You understand what I'm saying? This is what God has done. And what I love about this story is everyone can have and does have their own personal story, their Mephibosheth story, of where they felt like they were eating the crumbs off the street. And yet God is saying, child, I have something so much more for you. And God gives us the opportunity. Sometimes in life, there's things that happen that we wish they hadn't have happened a certain way. Or we feel like sometimes we're maybe born or put into a situation that we didn't ask for, whatever the case is. But folks, we don't have to continue to eat the crumbs from the street, so to speak. We can choose to accept the open invitation to sit at the king's table for the rest of our lives. And notice what the story said. His feet were still lame, all right? So there's still things in life that maybe aren't going to be fixed 100%. You understand what I'm saying? Because we're still human. There's still things that aren't perfect on this side of eternity. But that doesn't mean that we can't still sit in the presence of the king and at his table. And he's going to make things as comfortable, if you want to say it that way, that we can be sustained in life. There may be some more uncomfortable things, but yet he's saying, I have all of this for you. I'm here for you, child. You're not alone. I'm not forsaking you. You need some help to get around and do this. Yes, you may be crippled, if you understand my point here. You may be crippled, but you know what? There were servants. There was plenty around to help him do whatever he needed. Oh, I'm so thankful, folks, that we have this privilege being a child of the king. And again, it's because of his love and his mercy that he reaches out to us just like King David did. You realize he didn't have to do that. King David didn't have to do that. You realize the Lord doesn't have to do this for us, but folks, he loves us so much. And he loves extending opportunities and mercies. What's the scripture say? His mercies are new every morning. And there's another song in scriptures talk about, great is thy faithfulness. And scriptures will talk about, God is love. Folks, that's what this is about. That we get it, we can grasp the magnitude of this. That once we were lost, once we were eating the crumbs, once we were felt so forsaken and ashamed and living the life that Mephibosheth was living. And he went from poverty to royalty. Folks, we can have that same blessing in life. I'm not promising a life of physical prosperity. That's not what I'm talking about here this morning. But prosperity in the Lord, that he would meet our needs, that he would give us that peace that passeth understanding, that he would give us the joy in our deep within our souls, that he would give us an inspiration to pray for things and for our faith to mount up and to persevere through difficult places. That he says, yes, I have a place prepared for you. Yes, I have blessings in store for you, child. All we have to do is continue sitting at his table and enjoy the feast that he has prepared. Folks, let's revel in this. You understand what I'm saying? We're talking about a godly revelry. That we can revel. We can enjoy the fullness of God. Everything that he has in his spiritual palace is available to you and I. And I'm so grateful and thankful for that. And for his love and his mercy. You pray for me. I'll be faithful to him.